Tonight, I want to share with you some lessons from the Feast of Tabernacles. If you follow the Jewish calendar or are aware of that, this evening begins the Feast of Tabernacles, which means last week was Yom Kippur, and which was just preceded just a few days earlier by Rosh Hashanah, which is New Year, Yom Kippur, and now here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were actually seven feasts prescribed in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. And that was God gave the people of Israel, his chosen people, these feasts, these times of holy convocation, of coming together. There were purposes for these feasts. And I'm glad to declare to you that all these feasts foreshadowed and point to and are summed up in Jesus Christ. Paul teaches that to us. But we're going to be looking at the Feast of Tabernacles tonight. And there's some real interesting things about the Feast of Tabernacles that we can rejoice in tonight. The word tabernacle is the word sukkah, and it literally means booth or tent. The Feast of Tabernacles is known as the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booth, the Feast of the Shouts, because it was a time of celebration. And we're going to be looking at some of those things tonight. I wanted to give a little picture because we recently had a kind of a Feast of Tabernacles setting in our backyard, although it had nothing to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. But it had a lot to do with making memories, as these feasts do. They're times of remembering things as well. Well, some of our little grandsons were over to visit, and they actually built a little booth. As we'll see from the scripture we're going to be reading here in a moment, they were instructed to take certain kinds of branches and put them together, and that was used to celebrate, to make these booths and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So they made that one in our backyard. And you can see there on the right-hand side, they finally upgraded and put a blanket and some pillows in there. So they were moving in. And this time of year, many Jewish people around the world are putting a booth. If they live in a city like New York or someplace like that, you may see their little booths out on the fire escapes or on their front porches in other places or their backyards. Flimsy little structure. They weren't allowed to use nails, so they're little flimsy lean-tos that they would get under. Why in the world would they need to do something like that? Why would God want them to do that? And we're going to talk about that tonight in these lessons from the Bible about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I want to read the scripture first, and then we'll jump into some of the lessons. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read from book of, I think it's Leviticus, chapter 23. I don't know why I typed down Exodus here. My memory tells me it's supposed to be Leviticus. Somebody correct me. Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 33. Sometimes I'll do that. I'm typing stuff out. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Is that how yours starts? I thought so. Leviticus 23, verse 33. And I'm going to read through verses 43. All right? So I don't put this on the screen. There's just a lot of it, so I'm just going to read it to you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, so get this, here's God giving a message to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Here's what he says. The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Get the day off. Verse 36. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. Now, let me parenthetically say here, what we see is there's a day, a Sabbath, no work, and then that's followed by 7 days of feasting, then followed by another Sabbath. So really, it's a 9-day window of time. Verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord. Now, this not only is referencing the Feast of Tabernacles, but the ones he's also described in the verses leading up to verse 23. You can see those feasts if you read the entire chapter. Verse 37, he says, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings every day on its day, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you will give to the Lord. There's a whole lot of offerings and a whole lot of besides going on in this passage. So these were special times set aside to the Lord, a lot of sacrifices being offered. This was in addition to all those others that he says besides, besides, besides. So you're kind of beside yourself the time you read all of it. Verse 39. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, which is when he says that there will be the Feast of the Tabernacles for 7 days. In other words, that's when it started. He said, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, talking about harvest, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, like the little picture I showed you that my grandkids did. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, there's where we get the term tabernacles. It's from the Hebrew word sukkoth, or sukkoth, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And here's the lessons that I want us to draw out of the scriptures we've just read. I want to share with you, first of all, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's about the Lord. I don't know if you noticed when we were reading through there, he said it shall be a Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. This was to the Lord. This is the feast. It's about the Lord. Not only the Lord God of Moses that gave the command, as ultimately we'll see when we finished, it was pointing to the Lord Jesus when he would come. And the idea here is the Lord wanted them to remember the coming out of Egypt. They would get in these booths for 7 days throughout their generations. You can think, say, 100 years after this, all the little kids would get out there and their parents and grandparents would tell them the great story of when the Lord God delivered all their kinsmen out of Egypt and defeated the Egyptian armies and opened up the Red Sea and led them out into the wilderness and how God fed them supernaturally. So it's about the Lord. And even the way this passage ends, he said, I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen. So the Lord wanted this to be about him. All right. Secondly, it's about the rest of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the rest of the Lord like there's part of the Lord, you know, here and a part of the Lord there. I'm talking about the rest, the cessation from work. You will do no customary work. We're going to have a Sabbath at the start and a Sabbath at the end. And the Sabbath is a holy day set apart, sanctified to the Lord. They weren't allowed to do their regular business and their regular work on the Lord's day. And that Sabbath would begin on 6 p.m. For Jewish people now, it begins on 6 p.m. on Friday until 6 p.m. on Saturday. And that was their Sabbath. And as he said, even this feast is for the native Israelites. They shall dwell in booths. So the Lord wanted them to remember the Sabbath, the time of rest, how he created the world, and then what did the people get to do? They got to enjoy what God had created. He put Adam and Eve in a garden. Everything was perfect. They had everything they needed. He wanted them to have that time of resting from their own labors to remember what he had worked to bring about and provided for them. And ultimately, this feast, this part of the feast, points to the rest that we find only in Jesus Christ. He says those that come unto him, he would give them rest. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus now is our Sabbath. Why? Because he's our great high priest. The Old Testament priests, they never finished their work. There wasn't but one seat in the tabernacle, and God sat on that. But when Jesus came as our great high priest, he went to the cross. He offered a sacrifice that never has to be repeated again. The sacrificial system was brought to an end. It was fulfilled. And now your salvation and my salvation, we rest from any religious works in order to have favor with God. We rest and anchor our salvation in the work that's already accomplished, the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's about the rest of the Lord. The third thing I want to talk about is about the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The Lord gave Moses the instruction to build the tabernacle with the mercy seat and all the components, the shewbread, the candlesticks, the laver, and then even the brazen altar outside where the sacrifices would be offered, and inside the holy place and the holy of holies, the mercy seat and the angels and all of that, the veil. God, that was the dwelling place of God in their midst. And like the picture there, the Bible says when that tabernacle was sanctified, the glory of God came and hovered over it. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was God's manifest presence over the tabernacle, which was his dwelling place on earth, if you will. And he wanted them to remember in this Feast of Tabernacles that God dwelt among them. And he also, you make these little booths for 7 days, these little flimsy booths that they would be in. That reminded them of how temporal life is, how frail life is, and how that God dwelt in their midst in the wilderness and all that he did for them. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a time of remembering God's presence with us, and specifically now, what does it mean? All of these point to Jesus. John tells us in John 1 that Jesus, who was the living Word, he became flesh, and he literally, skene in the Greek, which means to tabernacle. It's the Greek word that translates the Hebrew word for tabernacle, the sukkoth. It means to tabernacle. And John says, he came and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John was comparing the Old Testament tabernacle and the glory cloud over it. He says, now God has come in human flesh. The only veil between God and man was the veil of human flesh. He came in human flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. So this feast is fulfilled in God becoming a man and dwelling in the midst of his people. And there is a future reference to this in the kingdom to come when God, both Jews and Gentiles, the Old Testament prophets even prophesied this, where the Jews and Gentiles would participate in the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles in that kingdom. So it's about the presence of the Lord. They were to remember that in the wilderness. It's also about the deliverance of the Lord. Because he says there in verse 43, and that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Like all those tents around that big tent, they dwelled in those booths around where God dwelled. He was in their midst. But it's also, he had them to commemorate this every year for a seven-day feast period. He had them to commemorate it, to remember their deliverance out of Egypt. How he had delivered them with a mighty deliverance. And so, as we think about Tabernacles tonight, we can thank God that we've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from Satan. We've been delivered. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, now translated into the kingdom of God's own Son. And it's a beautiful thing. So it's about the deliverance of the Lord. But also, it's about the provisions of the Lord. It's interesting here that when this takes place, it's in the fall, and it's commensurate with harvest time. Go out and get the fruit of the fields. And they were to take the fruit out of the fields, and it was, we'll talk about this in a minute, but it was a great celebration time. But it speaks of God wanting to remember, when you were in the wilderness and you didn't have water to drink, I gave you water out of the rock. When you were in the wilderness and you didn't have bread to eat, I sent the manna from heaven. When you were in the wilderness and you was wanting some meat, I sent covey after covey after covey of quail till you got tired of it. It's about God's supernatural provision for his people in the wilderness. And some of you may feel like, crank it up. My hand's going up. I'm in the wilderness right now. You know, I'm needing a breakthrough. I'm needing provision. I'm needing God's help. Well, Tabernacles reminds us that God is a faithful provider. And these feasts are fulfilled in Jesus. That's the reason Jesus could proclaim, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I'm offering you living water. You know, Jesus is the fulfillment of this. So it's about the provisions of the Lord as well. Matter of fact, I'm going to have seven of these lessons. I thought I would use seven since this was a seven-day feast and seven's a God number. And we're going to end up in John 7 and talk about verse 37 where Jesus said something on the seventh day of that feast that takes place on the seventh month. So it seemed like seven lessons would be a good number to stop on. We're on number five. Number six is, it's about the party of the Lord. They say of all of them, this is like one of the most celebrated feasts. It's happy time. Happy time. He said, you will rejoice. Why? It's harvest time. The crops are coming in. God's provided for you. God's blessed you. And you get in that little booth, and probably most of us now, what I really was thinking about that led me to this is all those tents that you guys and you ladies and gentlemen sent to North Carolina last week. It's amazing. Thank God for that. There are people up there living in tents. Their houses are gone. And for some of them, even the place their house used to be is gone. I mean, just total devastation. And they are in real time, not just for a brief period, but having to live in tents on the side of the road. So thank you for donating tents and sleeping bags and supplies. I talked with Vic Wilkins again today. Vic and Mary are members here at Grace House. They've been up there now. They're in their second week. And he shared about how much what has been sent has meant to them. And he also let me know, and I'm real excited about this, and this, I am tying this in, so stay with me. You need to know this. We have had, in addition to those two shipments that have been sent, we have had over $11,000 donated to help these people. Yeah, give the Lord, thank God for that. And Vic was telling me yesterday that what's really needed, now this makes sense, think about it. Did y'all notice it was a little cool this morning? Don't you figure north of here it's colder than it is here? And they're living in tents. They're needing those little buddy heaters. Okay? And so Mary's nephew owns a hardware distributorship, and I talked with him on the phone today as well. He has contacted the company that makes the little buddies. It's got a real good deal on them. He had someone from their church donate $20,000. He also was a worship pastor in the church there in the Coleman area. And he's trying to raise money to send as many as possible of the little buddy. Y'all want to talk about the little buddies? They're like, propane heaters that hang on the wall, the 3-brick, the 5-brick. A little buddy is a small portable one. I've got one at home. It's got two or three little bricks in it. You put those green propane tanks on them, and it works as a heater. They're real popular for hunters to put them in their shooting houses. Okay, that kind of thing. And so they're good to use inside of a tent. They also have a hose kit that you can hook up to a grill propane bottle. You know, the bigger bottles. So this is something that will really help them. So they're going to try to get a truckload up there. They may even need some people to go up there and help distribute them out to the different places they're needed. So we're going to be sending probably a good bit of this $11,000 for that need. We're just keeping our ears to the ground. Vic and Mary are up there where it's happening. So I'm getting front lines information about what they really need. No, we got plenty of this, but this is what we need. We did that last week with the sleeping bags and tents. And so this is the need right now. So I just wanted you to know that, what a difference that you are making, and God bless you. We're going to be blessed for that. Amen. You know, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it to help them, but that's just the way it works. So thank God for that. So these people are having to live in tents. The Feast of Tabernacles, they would make these little lean-tos and stay in them 7 days. Don't you know that today, if you had to go out in the backyard and the next 7 days sleep in a tent, probably by the time you came out of there after a week, you'd be more grateful for the house you've got to live in. Now, that would light my fire in days gone by to sleep in a tent for a few nights. Now, that's not my wheelhouse anymore. I'm sorry. You know. But in the Bible, the Feast of Tabernacles was party time. They would take these branches and when Jesus entered Jerusalem, you know, they were waving palm branches. It was that kind of thing. You know, they didn't have lights and screens and cameras and action like we do. So they would take limbs and leaves, and they had a party, and it was a time of celebration. It was a time to smile, a time to be happy because of the blessings of God and remembering all that God had done for them. You know that works today? When you get down and out, when you get a little weary, maybe when it looks like things are sliding off just a little bit, and you can talk yourself into a pity party. You know, sometimes the devil want to come by and say, hey, I'm going to a pity party. You want to go with me? You know, we have to learn to say no. But just begin to remember all that God has done for you. Amen. And begin to praise Him. And by faith, praise Him for what He's going to do for you, because He hadn't forgot about you. He still knows where you are. He knows exactly what you need. You start praising Him, because when the praise goes up and the glory comes down, you'll start seeing God move and work. So it's about the party of the Lord. And Jesus tells about the prodigal son coming home. And the religious son, he didn't like that. He wanted to be, hey, I'm the one that's done all the work here, and now you're doing the party for the prodigal. And the Lord said, it's the right thing to do. You're always mine. It's the right thing to do to make merry. Don't make God some sour-faced old man sitting up there just waiting for an opportunity to hurl a lightning bolt down here. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In His presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Our old man don't like to hear that. Our old man doesn't like to do that. Our old man will cross arms and bow up against it. But the spirit man inside of you, when you'll get in agreement with the Holy Spirit inside of you, those praises will start bubbling out of you. Well, the next thing you know, you might be prophesying your future as the Holy Spirit just releases the promises of God through you partying before the Lord. Church ought to be a joyful place. Being around God's people ought to be a joyful place. If some people's idea of who the Lord is really the way he is, he would have never been called a friend of sinners, a friend of wine bibbers, or a friend of tax collectors. I believe Jesus Christ was the most joyful person there was to be around that's ever been on planet Earth, because he had the Holy Spirit without measure, and one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Now we are his body in the earth, and we need to reflect who he is. And I'm not talking about the plastic version or the fake version. And I know there's times when we're burdened, and there's times when we mourn, and there's times when we cry, and there's times when we prevail. But somewhere in there, make a little room and for some joy to get out. Amen? It's about the party of the Lord. Another thing the Feast of Tabernacles is about, it's about the person of the Lord. And this is the most important thing. All points to Jesus. The provision for our salvation, it came from him. Our cause for rejoicing is based on what he's done for us. You can go through this list of things. He is our Sabbath. He is our deliverer. He is our provider. Everything we need, it's about him. We find our resting place in him. It's about the person of the Lord. All of this foreshadowed the one who would come. The bread that would come down from heaven in the form of a human being. The water of life that would be given us through a human being. The God-man, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, it says on the last day of the great day of the feast, which would have been the seventh day of the feast, the writers of Jewish history around the first century tell us that on this day of the feast, there was the ceremony of the water drawing. When the high priest would lead a procession from the temple over to the pool of Siloam, where there were living waters, flowing waters, living waters. And they would take like these seven urns, fill them up with water, and by procession they would go back to the temple. And they would pour that out at the base of the altar of sacrifice, that living water. And it was a joyous time. The historians say that people would be shouting and jumping and rejoicing. And they would be crying out, "Lord, save us! Lord, save us! Lord, save us! Lord, save us!" They were looking to him as their salvation, crying out to the God of the Jewish people, the Lord God of all. And it was on that day, John tells us in John 7, that Jesus stood up and cried out. And that word to cry out in that particular context, on that particular day, during that particular ceremony on the Feast of Tabernacles, there would have been a lot of noise. In other words, the boombox was blasting and the volume was up. And it says he cried out. Can you imagine that? Everything that the Feast of Tabernacles pointed to and was really about, the fulfillment of it was right there in their midst, and they didn't know it. And he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me. And I will give you living water." And John says, this he spake, that those who would believe, he spake concerning the Holy Spirit, that those that believe on him would receive. Because he said, if you're thirsty, I'll give you drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Talking about the Holy Spirit, John said. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? This feast is about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to celebrate it, you can. But it's about him. Just make sure that he's the middle of your celebration. You know, Paul says one man, a day special, another man, it doesn't mean anything. That's up to the man. But regardless whether you celebrate it or you don't, you better make sure Jesus Christ is the middle of it. Amen. The feast are the shadows. Christ is the substance. I'd rather hold my wife close and kiss her on the cheek than to hold up her picture and kiss it. And these feasts point to Jesus. And they're beautiful. And they're filled with meaning and substance as far as meat for us to eat. Oh, look what Jesus has done for me. And how God set it up that he would be celebrated before he ever came in the form of a man. And some of them point to his second coming even. So, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's rejoice in our Lord Jesus. Let's cling to all God's promises. And let's remember, Paul said, all that happened in the Old Testament, they are examples for us. We learn from this. We glean from this. We're stronger as we learn from their mistakes. I mean, it's really the wise route is to learn from someone else's mistakes rather than to have to wait and learn from your own. Although most of us have a pretty good running list of needing to discover for ourselves the unprofitability of our own mistakes. Oh, but God's Word is so rich. It's so full. And it's bread for us. Father, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, who robed himself with human flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you, Lord, that we're remembering tonight your presence in the midst of your ancient people, Israel, your presence in the form of Jesus Christ then, in the New Testament, and your presence with us now through your Holy Spirit living inside us, that we are now your temple on the earth. You are living through us by your Spirit. Thank you for that, Lord. You are truly our God. In you, we truly do live and move and have our very being. And we honor you tonight. We rejoice tonight, Lord, in your goodness, in your grace, and in your mercy. I want you to stand with me as we have some music playing, or Andrew, you're up here just to have some music playing for us. I want to ask our prayer team members that are scheduled to be here tonight to pray. Would you come up? And perhaps there are some of you that tonight you want to find someone up here that will pray for you, agree with you, minister to you, whatever you're going through. The Bible says the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. And a lot of times the help he provides is through some of his people. So the help you may need tonight from the Lord may be right up here in the form of an answered prayer or a prophetic word, or a promise of God shared, or encouragement given. So I invite you to come right now. If you need prayer, just step out from where you are. Make your way forward.
Thank you. about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Are there any others?
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Father, we're so grateful that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to dwell among men, to die on the cross for our sins, to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Thank you for the power of his glorious resurrection. Thank you for the majesty of his ascension, that he is seated now. The work is finished, and he ever lives to make intercession. Lord, thank you how you've covered the bases in our life. How that you arrive at places before we get there. How you prepare the path before us. You are our rear guard. You are the one out front leading through your Holy Spirit. You surround us with your holy angels. You watch over us. You don't sleep. You don't slumber. Thank you for who you are and what you do for us. And we bless you tonight with all our soul and all that's within us. We bless your holy name. Just tell him out loud, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We lift our voice to you tonight. We bless you, Lord. You're so good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now in Jesus' name, go out, share his love, be a witness, live for him, and be blessed. Thank you for being here tonight. This altar remains open if you need prayer. Invite a friend to come with you this Lord's Day, Sunday, 8:30 or 10 a.m. or both, as some people do. Thank you. God bless you.